Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's the seventh day of December, and hopefully you are all nice and rested and back home. I'm all nice and rested and back home, and it's really, really good to be here and to sort of be able to spend the rest of the month without, actually the rest of the year without travel. And just settle in and prepare for the new year, which is a lot of work in and of itself. But it's good to be back, and wow, you know, a day separated and reflecting on Wild at Heart Advanced has given me just a great, great perspective. And it was just so good, good to see you men again. And so yeah, all of the pictures that I took anyway and the videos that I took there are all on the Flickr page now, so you guys can go see the rest of the story that you haven't seen, and some of the videos and stuff. All right, that has nothing to do with what we're reading today, but that's just what's been going on. Anyway, we're reading from the English Standard Version this week, continuing in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. 17. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers tracked with blood. As robbers lie in wait for a man, so the priests band together. They murder on the way to Shechem. They commit villainy. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's whoredom is there. Israel is defiled. For you also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed when I restore the fortunes of my people. When I would heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim is revealed, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely. The thief breaks in and the bandits raid outside, but they do not consider that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds surround them. They are before my face. By their evil they make the king glad, and the princes by their treachery. They are all adulterers. They are like a heated oven, whose baker ceases to stir the fire, from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes became sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with mockers. For with hearts like an oven they approach their intrigue. All night their anger smolders. In the morning it blazes like a flaming fire. All of them are hot as an oven, and they devour their rulers. All their kings have fallen, and none of them calls upon me. Ephraim mixes himself with all the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, and he knows it not. Gray hairs are sprinkled upon him, and he knows it not. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim is like a dove, silly and without sense, calling to Egypt, going to Assyria. As they go, I will spread over them my net. I will bring them down like birds of the heavens. I will discipline them according to the report made to their congregation. Woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry to me from the heart, but they wail upon their beds. For grain and wine, they gash themselves, they rebel against me. Although I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not upward. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword because of the insolence of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Set the trumpet to your lips. One like a vulture is over the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. To me they cry, "My God, we, Israel, know you." Israel has spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold they made idols for their own destruction. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of insolence? For it is from Israel, a craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It shall yield no flour. If it were to yield, strangers would devour it. Israel is swallowed up. Already they are among the nations as a useless vessel, for they have gone up to Assyria, a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has hired lovers, though they hire allies among the nations. I will soon gather them up, and the king and princes shall soon writhe because of the tribute. Because Ephraim has multiplied altars for sinning. They have become to him altars for sinning. Were I to write for him my laws by the 10,000s, they would be regarded as a strange thing. As for my sacrificial offerings, they sacrifice meat and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. And Judah has multiplied fortified cities, so I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour her strongholds. Rejoice not, O Israel, exult not like the peoples, for you have played the whore, forsaking your God. You have loved a prostitute's wages on all threshing floors. Threshing floor and wine vat shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail them. They shall not remain in the land of the Lord, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean food in Assyria. They shall not pour drink offerings of wine to the Lord, and their sacrifices shall not please him. It shall be like mourner's bread to them. All who eat of it shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their hunger only. It shall not come to the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival, and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they are going away from destruction, but Egypt shall gather them, Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their precious things of silver, thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come, the days of recompense have come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The man of the spirit is mad because of your great iniquity and great hatred. The prophet is the watchman of Ephraim with my God, yet a fowler's snare is on all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they bring up children, I will bereave them till none is left. Woe to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, was like a young palm planted in a meadow, but Ephraim must lead his children out to slaughter. Give them, O Lord. What will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Every evil of theirs is in Gilgal. There I began to hate them because of the wickedness of their deeds. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit, even though they give birth. I will put their beloved children to death. My God will reject them because they have not listened to him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. And moving into the third letter of the Apostle John, or third John today. This was probably written right along with second John, or very shortly thereafter. And it's a little different than John's first and second letters, in that this is a personal letter to a man named Gaius. The letter was probably written from Ephesus, where John spent the latter years of his life. Gaius was an upstanding Christian man who was a member of one of the nearby churches and was passionate about assisting missionaries in the area and furthering the gospel of Jesus. In a fascinating picture of church politics, a man named Diotrephes inserts himself into the equation, but he does not like the way that Gaius is doing his missionary assistance. John writes this letter to Gaius to affirm him in what he is doing and to let him know that he'll deal with the issue. This letter helps us see lines of spiritual authority and also helps us see that some of the issues that we see about us today were even struggles for the early church. 3 John, in its entirety, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to, puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Psalm 126, 1 through 6. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Proverbs 29:12-14. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. The poor man and the oppressor meet together. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. If a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. There is some heavy stuff in Hosea today. Probably too much to even try to dive into. But there are a couple of things that I think we ought to at least take note of. And that is really the verses that we began with. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. What do you think about that? We like to think about the benevolence of God, about the kindness of God. And we should. Very well, we should. Because it is his kindness and mercy and grace and profound, unspeakable love that has given us eternal life. That has given us life at all. We don't necessarily like to consider the discipline of God often. And yet all throughout Scripture, we see it to differing degrees based upon what's going on largely in the children of Israel's life. The Bible says the Lord disciplines those he loves. Those of us who are parents, we can probably get our mind around that pretty well. He has torn us that he may heal us, struck us down, but he will bind us up. The interesting thing, I think, is that often we are walking with God basically barely. And so even the discipline of the Lord, we rail against it and ask God to drive away the evil one because we think we're being attacked. When there are times when God is shaking things up, getting our attention, and yet we want to stay sleeping, or at least we want to keep things how they are. You know, we want this very nice, upwardly mobile, forward-moving life. And we consider the lack of any kind of pressure or hardship as good and the blessing of the Lord. When, think about it for a second, isn't it the things that we face and face down and battle through and overcome, the challenges, aren't those the things that we remember deeply? Aren't those the lessons that are earned? And that after having pressed through, we don't forget. So what's my point? My point is that not all hardship is something to be rejected outright. Jesus basically promises and guarantees as much. The Apostle Paul suggests that we should embrace such things, knowing that it builds character within us, strengthens our faith, solidifies our resolve, and the life of Christ would indicate that it centers and gives us a laser-like focus on what we are here for and what we are to do. So, am I suggesting that we just try to put ourselves in a hard place? No. but I am suggesting that our perspective of all of the things that happen in our life can be quite a bit more holistic than it is. I find it interesting in my own life. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. It's not like I am sitting on a park bench watching people do this and then saying things that I don't know anything about. It's interesting in our Western way of living and thinking how we really don't want to deal that much with any kind of hardship. What we want is comfort. We don't want things to change for the worse or take a direction other than wherever is comfortable and familiar. We don't like that stretching too much. We don't like leaping out in faith. We enjoy, whether we have a plan B or not, we enjoy knowing that we can handle whatever gets thrown at us. We start going ballistic when things get a little bit out of our control. And after the temper tantrum, we go to God. But a lot of times, that's not the first place that we go. When things are under our control, we just try to deal with them to try to keep things as they are. And yet, as I look back over my life, it is the struggle, right? It is the fight for survival. It is the faith in God when there's no other way out that means the most. And at least for me, I've done it enough times now that even that is comfortable. But what I have realized in Scripture is that we never really get to get comfortable. We get seasons, but we never get to settle in and cement ourselves in how things must be. As soon as we do that, then it becomes a type of idol in our lives. We try to create this heaven on earth, and it traps us in ways that we don't even see until they are tested. And then we see that we're going crazy about things that challenge us to stretch forward and move into directions that we've never been before. We don't like that. And yet, He has torn us that He may heal us, struck us down that He may bind us up. We must embrace whatever God is doing in our lives, knowing that He loves us. And if He is going after something in our hearts or in our lives, and the only way to get there is to offer us a season of challenge, then so be it. There are very few things in life that are dealt to us that we cannot find God in. Now, that doesn't mean that God did it. I'm not saying that at all. Sometimes He is doing things. Sometimes He is disciplining us. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what happens. We will not be abandoned. And following the voice and instruction of the Holy Spirit through these times of challenge are some of the richest, richest things we will ever experience. So may we embrace life, knowing that if we're in a season that is more difficult, that character is being developed in us. Trust is being developed in us. The very things that we need the most is being developed in us. And we trust that the heart of the Father toward us is good, because it is. And so, Father, we come before You in that posture, hands outstretched, trusting You. Abba, Father, our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we trust You. And so we trust in every season of life. We trust that You are present. We trust that no matter what is going on, You are not mystified. You are not taken off guard. You are not in heaven having a nervous breakdown, wondering how this could have happened. You are present, and You you can lead and guide us through your loving hand. No matter where that may be, we trust in you because it will be for our good, for you are good. And so we desire to walk more intimately with you, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come lead us into a deeper and more intimate walk with Christ, that we may have a better understanding for what you are doing in our lives and what you are doing through our lives. We trust you deeply, and we pray for you to work in our lives however you need to work in our lives. In the precious and beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we pray this. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. There's plenty of stuff going on there. Really interesting dialogue always happening in the forums. The chat rooms? Well, it depends. Depends on when you jump in, but they're available. There's a women's chat just for women. There's a men's chat just for men. And then there's, of course, the open forum chat rooms. So if you guys jump in and never, you know, you keep trying to find people, but they're not there, then set one up. Get on the forums and say, hey, who wants to meet to talk? They are wide open for you. But there's plenty of stuff to do. Check out the website if you like. There is, well, the store is happening for Christmas time. We're trying to make some of these resources available at a discounted price and try to pick up the shipping if you order enough product. An interesting question has come up. People, we have free shipping for $50 or more, $100 or more for international. And so some people will buy a bunch of downloadable things and then a few other things adding up to $50 and wonder why they can't get their $50 shipping. You have to buy $50 worth of stuff that would be shipped for it to work, or $100 worth of stuff to be shipped internationally. Here's why. I mean, basically what happens then is that it just... it's a break-even thing. The store was never really set up to be this high margin, you know. Nothing about the Daily Audio Bible is that way. It's just resources that we're trying to make available to you, either to that help you identify with what it is you're a part of. You know, like I have my my Daily Audio Bible mug that I drink my Wind Farm coffee from every single day, but I look over at that mug as I'm preparing to read and centering myself, and it reminds me that we are in this together. So we make those kinds of resources available for that. Anyway, our break-even point is about at your $50 purchase, then we can pick up the shipping because that would have been maybe the margin. Anyway, I don't even know why I went into all that. I guess just by way of explanation, because I've gotten a couple of emails wondering about that. So there's your explanation. So I was really hoping when I got back from Wild at Heart yesterday afternoon that they would be here, because we got a new thing for the store for Christmas that I love, and I'm not going to tell you about it till they get here, because I need to see them and make sure that they're cool and everything. Otherwise, it would be just a big tease, as if this isn't. Something cool for the Wind Farm cafe that's about to open, and for us here at Daily Audio Bible. What else? If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, especially at this last season of the year, my heartfelt gratitude, as always. I have not ever been one to, how do I say this? Hard sell. You know, I've just, in these 5 years, you would think that I would become a master at fundraising and all of the right things to say, and I haven't, and I don't want to. I don't want to become that. I've actually purposed in my heart not to become that, even though I guess, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can raise lots and lots of money. I'd rather just be organic and allow the Holy Spirit to move among the community, to do what needs to be done, to finish well the mission God has given us. And that mission is to bring the spoken word of God to whoever will listen, anywhere in the world, anytime. And that changes things. And to continue to offer hope through any way that God will lead us. So there, I guess there's the hard sell. If you were considering end of the year giving, then I would ask you to prayerfully consider the Daily Audio Bible. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. All right, that is it for today, the 7th of December. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. My name's Julie. I'm from Van, Texas. I'm calling to ask you to pray for a dear friend of mine, a co-worker. Night before, this is November 23rd. Last night, when she went home from work, probably around 9:30 at night, she gets a call that her husband had been hit by a car and he died. Thank God that they are both Christians, so he is in a better place. But I ask that you will pray for Judy, that God will put his loving arms around her, give her peace and comfort during this time. And I also ask that you will pray for the lady that hit him. She is distraught. She is so upset. She did not see him because it was nighttime and he was dressed in dark clothes. So I just ask that you just keep them in prayer. And I thank you for all the prayers. And have a good day. Bye.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible friend. My name is Rick Garza, Charleston, Missouri. I just want to ask special prayer for my sister. She's had a bad relationship, and she's finally realizing that she needs to get out of it. Also, I want to pray for my family, my children, my wife. She's such a special, wonderful person. Father, just continue to be with all of us, our military service women and men. Thank you for everything. And I'm really enjoying your Daily Audio Bible readings, and I'll continue to listen. Thank you. God bless. Bye.